Crime Wife here on the Worst Little Podcast.
Who wants to be famous? Who wants to die for art?
Torino, the biggest little city in the world, the American cradle of liberty.
Look at you! You're a freak!
What are we alive for except to grab all the kicks we can? Contaminate our society.
Now being renovated.
Uncle Nick.
Podcasting live from the recent past in the Dogwater Studios, high above the UNR campus, and the beautiful Believe Plaza downtown Reno, decked out for Christmas. It's the Worst Little Podcast. And I'm your host, Nick Ramirez, here with my good friend Chewbacca, Dogwater Dick in the back, and holy shit, the Reverend Rory Dowd.
Hey,
not
hey.
To mention, Crime Wife.
On the Worst Little Podcast, we're talking out of our ass.
Oh, you said that just like a
Bingo.
Dime store novel.
Yes.
Crime Wife.
Crime Wife.
Thank you for getting the vibe.
I like your hats.
Yeah, thank your hats you. And your...
I'm Mormon shirts.
Mormon shirts and ties, yes. Blues Brothers.
Yeah, we just need new ties.
Looks good.
Hasidic Gangsters. Yeah.
There you go.
That's
yeah.
a good band name, too.
Yeah. A lot of earlocks going on then.
Yep.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I'm
Rory,
excited.
You booked this, right?
I did. I'm excited to be here. We've got Crime Wife here making their, I believe, local stage debut.
Yeah, yeah. This would be the first time we've played anywhere.
Played anywhere.
Practice room.
Exclusive.
I thought you had a show.
Upcoming Mary Anarchy 21.
Oh, that's right.
Here
it hasn't
this weekend, December 6th, the benefit
Saturday.
And tribute. Yeah, this Saturday, a benefit and tribute to our good friend, Jenny Pez Dispenser. With all funds going to her mom to help cover the costs of the hole she leaves in all of our lives, and especially the financial ones. But no, it's going to be a big celebration. I'm happy for you guys to be here to have your debut, your deflowering at the Mary Anarchy, as
thank
as
you
it were.
For taking it.
Yeah, I appreciate you.
Thanks for being gentle.
You know, it's funny too because we had the bonus show song, which you guys should sign up for at patreon.com/worstlittlepodcast. We had that, and then we had this first song that we warmed, and I'm like, oh fuck, you got to play with Roxy Colley, dude. And then
oh
like,
yeah, it's totally
oh,
that kind of a
we
vibe.
We are playing together.
Oh yeah,
I think we're right after you guys. Possibly.
It's nice how you planned it that way.
Yeah,
but I mean, you figured they weren't going to be a like hardcore punk band.
We're too old for that.
I had no. Oh, I no. really didn't know because by the name Crime Wife, I was like, maybe they're could, like in theatrical.
It could be.
Yeah.
You know, Joe's.
I mean, Nick and I are in a punk rock band and we're as old
as you guys are old.
You, you look a lot younger than me, though.
we call it a punk rock band, but the kids call it dad rock.
It's as fast as I can play.
Even though there's only really two dads. Oh, but, you know, but you got the rate, furry dads.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, they can be dads of other things.
Yeah, there's a cat dad and a dog dad. So, yeah.
Dog dad. Old. Dog dad's a good name for a band, isn't it?
We qualify for many senior citizen discounts as a group.
Yeah.
And I'm not just talking about my band, I'm talking about this room.
Yeah, it's fair enough. It's fair enough. We've all been around a bit,
a little bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's go around and get everybody's name, what you play, and what bands you've been in before.
How do we know you?
We'll start with Steven.
My name is Steven. I play the drums for Crime Wife, do a little bit of backup vocals, too. I've been in The Hard Ways and Seven Out. I was in Weapons of Mass Creation for about a decade.
That was a badass band.
So, thank you. So that's how I ended up on here. I think this is my sixth time. So
yeah. Don't we have a
owe you a five timers patch?
I would say, don't we have a special patch?
We'll start a list for people who are owed one.
I appreciate it.
We've only handed them out one time. By
the time we get more of those made, we also need 10 timers and 15 timers.
That's true. Yeah,
because that's right around the corner.
Yeah.
Unless people start dying. People need to start dying. That'll fix it.
What?
Start dying?
Wow.
Stop dying.
And then to my right is my beautiful wife.
I'm Jennifer. I play the bass, so I play in this band. And I also play with my daughter. I play upright bass, and she plays violin. She likes to play Irish folk songs.
Dude.
We have a cello player. So we just have been practicing together, but we hope to do some open mic nights at some all ages places next year. So that's what I've been up to.
How old is your daughter?
18.
Okay, that's awesome. Yeah. That's really fantastic.
And your upright bass, is it more like bowing or is it more slappity slappity?
It's a
pluckety pluck.
Pluckety pluckety. Okay.
I'm kind of winning at pluckety plucketing.
Right.
And I'm kind of sucking at bowing. Oh. But I'm working on it.
Nice.
I'm working on it and it's getting better.
Yay.
It's been painful though. But it's worth it.
Sucking at something is the first step to being okay at something.
Yeah. I'm all right with not being that good.
Yeah.
So, but I hope to get better. Exactly.
Hello. I'm Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Hello. I was in Weapons of Mass Creation with Steven for a long time. I'm Penn. And so I was also Hedwig in Hedwig and the Angry Inch, mm-hmm. and Nick was in the Angry Inch.
That counts as a band and was on the podcast.
Yeah, we were on the podcast. That was really fun.
That band played a lot of shows.
It did. Played a lot of shows, yeah.
You've been on a few times in theatrical capacities as well
exactly.
Musical.
You've probably been here at least five times plus. I mean, it's probably getting close to 10 now.
Yeah,
right?
Something
many
like
times,
that.
Yes.
Yeah, it's been a yeah.
Not to mention
Welcome
all
back
the hours
to
recording
too.
Your album here too, right?
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. There was a time when it just seemed like Joe lived here.
Yeah. I should have just paid rent, really, and just stayed.
He's a great roommate, Rick.
God.
Yeah.
Close
I mean,
I know.
A decade.
I know. Yeah. I basically lived it. Yeah. I recorded here a lot with Weapons, with Steven, obviously, and then recorded a solo album here that I've never really done anything with.
Well, and with Weapons, it would be like everybody else would do their parts, and then Penn never did any overdubs afterwards. It would always just be like the live vocal is it.
Yep.
And then everybody would leave. and me and Joe would fuck around with the album and overdub guitars for 3 years.
And all of a sudden, the sun's coming up in the morning.
Post Steven would be like, why am I paying for this?
He'd be like, it's That's amazing. True. You don't understand.
Why are we recording the bass again? Reasons.
Reasons.
Never ends. And then when we did your solo album, you literally played everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Some things better than others.
But
did
still,
you play a
so
live
much
kit
fun.
Or
mm-hmm.
yes,
nice,
yeah.
And it was fun because
I played Steven's kit actually.
Right,
I was like, "Can I borrow your kit?"
My kit doesn't sound good.
But I love that you recorded on your phone you playing acoustic versions of the songs until you were happy with them. Then he brought those in here, and I played them out of the computer while he drummed on top of them. So the basis of everything wasn't a metronome. It was him playing it live by himself.
Yeah, tracking.
Probably the dumbest way I could have attempted
it. I thought that was brilliant. We begin with this.
Did we do that, Rick, when I did mine? Didn't I have to like play acoustic and then play?
And some people can come in and imagine the song and play drums, and that's kind of voodoo-y to me. I don't know if that's
That wasn't me.
I think no, you played acoustic, but you recorded the acoustic here, I think.
Yeah.
And then Joe did all of his acoustic recordings on his phone. Or and I don't even know. I don't think we even used a metronome.
I'm feeling it right now. No. I got to just play it and record it right now.
Yep.
Super fun.
Like the guide track to play to.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the initial recordings, we would always have that guide track playing in the background. And then we replaced all those things with real stuff.
A million times over.
Oh, and just stacks and stacks. Because there was no Steven there to stop us.
Yeah.
We could just keep going and keep going.
Are you the voice
forever.
Of reason, Steven?
I'm pragmatic, yes.
What's like, can we please stop?
What's that album
the voice
where,
of we only have so much money.
Is it?
Well, then let's release this before the band doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah,
too late.
But
yeah, and we have a Weapons album that still has never been released.
Yep.
Man.
Some would say
and it's got
that
some great stuff on it.
Is a kiss of death when it comes to albums and getting released.
Yeah. Mm.
It's on us. We were a band for a decade.
Is there any potential for that to be released at some point, or is it just kind of dead?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I mean, it all exists.
Yeah, we like the album.
Yeah.
I mean
the band was so great. Yeah. It'd be really fun to revisit that by listening to something produced. So
fresh.
I'll keep my eyes out.
Yeah, and you could call the album posthumous.
I love it.
Yeah. I don't even remember what the album was called.
Posthumous.
It's called Troubles.
Right. God, that's some great fucking songs on there too. Okay, but
that's besides the point.
Yes.
What made you do Crime Wife?
Just boredom, I think. No.
Convenience, boredom.
No, we just wanted to play some music and kind of got together and were like, oh, this is fun.
Did you jam out and get the vibe of what you were gonna do, or did you already have songs that you're like, this is what's gonna go into Crime Wife?
Well.
Joe's definitely like the primary songwriter, so he has ideas, and then we kind of flesh him out as a band.
Yeah.
So he'll bring a bunch of stuff, and we'll sort through and be like, hey, I like that a lot. Let's explore that idea.
You know, they come with pedigrees and all this stuff with other cool bands and years of working together. But have you ever been in a rock band before or done anything like this?
I used to play some music with people in my 20s, but nothing like consistent. Yeah.
And was it bass or something else?
Bass, yeah.
Nice.
Right on.
Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful Hofner bass you got there.
That is a darn good looking bass.
It was our anniversary gift.
Yeah, I believe
Steven
it was anniversary gift, yeah.
Oh, he's a keeper. I buy my wife bass too.
What year anniversary was it?
Oh, yeah. What's the bass anniversary?
Right. That's what I was wondering.
I think it's 11.
Right.
Bass-iversary.
You two have known each other forever, though. They knew each other in middle school.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, we were best friends in middle school. Mm-hmm. I was a 7th grader. She was an 8th grader, so, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. And was he totally, taboo. Like, friend zone?
We were just friends.
We were friends, yeah.
Friend zone, yeah.
But we were friends that told each other we loved each other.
And then at some point, you're like, okay, we can get married.
Yeah, late 20s.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good. That's like a nice story.
Yeah, yeah. We found each other on Facebook.
In middle school?
I found her on Facebook.
when we were 28.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay, cool. Yeah. Gotcha.
I keep looking around at my gay friends wondering which one of them I'm going to trick into marrying me.
Mm-hmm.
So.
You don't have a pact with one of them? Like, okay, by the time we're this age, we're going to get married.
Yeah,
neither.
But the one that I did that with has a really great boyfriend right now. Mm-hmm. So, damn it.
But he promised.
Yeah, I know.
Actually, Rick's made a bunch of pacts like that with
actually,
people,
just think, like,
but
insurance.
They all end up with somebody yeah. smashing.
And it's like, and I've done that with two women and one man, and they're all in relationships. So
that's nice of you.
Yeah, it's like a matchmaking. It's like a matchmaking service you have.
It's like a for sure thing.
Oh yeah, as soon as you plan on marrying me, you're gonna meet someone for the rest yeah. of your life.
Rick's backup plan service.
If you're having trouble meeting somebody, just tell Rick you're going to marry him, and then boom, fall out of the sky.
Exactly.
It's like a genie.
It's the universe keeping me single.
Oh, Rick. I love you, buddy.
I love you,
if
too.
If I was gay and single, I'd be all over you, dude.
Huh, you'd be like, can't get enough of this.
This guy's that's fucking cool.
My feelings on this have been covered on a previous podcast.
But Crime Wife.
Crime Wife.
I feel like we got to get into why Crime Wife, but I think we need a song first.
I think we're song. Yeah. A song, yeah. And then we'll talk.
Due for a song.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tell you what's really, it's really fascinating because we haven't been playing together that long. And we place, it's so weird to place it. Like it feels so alien now sitting down to play. Because mm-hmm. we
stand to rock.
Yeah. You usually make the drummer go in a different room too. That's always different for people.
Yeah, it's actually mandatory for him to be in a set.
Go somewhere where we can't hear you. Thank you.
So yeah, it's kind of interesting to play in such a different setting.
How long has Crime Wife been playing together?
6 months, maybe.
Something like nice. That.
Well, so the thing is, we were playing together, we were practicing for a while, and then I just disappear for like the whole summer because of the festival, Shakespeare Festival.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I just basically, I'm like, okay, bye. I'll see you in September. And then that's like late June or mid-June. And they do. They're like, oh.
I saw Macbeth this year, eh?
Oh, you mean Twelfth Night? Oh, that we're doing Macbeth this year.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes, this coming year. The recent announcement.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm going to have to get my tickets for sure.
Yeah, please.
That's
come on.
I think I'm going to buy my birthday present now kind of
ticket. Oh, I love that. Yeah, it'd be great. You'll see me pouncing around in my
slacks. I'll make a point of being an inappropriate friend while you're at work.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. I love that. I love that for me. No, it's a fun time. It's a fun time. So probably like 6 months cumulative. Mm-hmm. We've really been like picking up rehearsing like
the last month. Did you do like once a week practice or something?
Yeah, once or twice, depends. Everyone's so busy. Steve also like teaches a drum line. I mean, like we all have jobs, right? But he went to LA for like 2 weeks or something doing drum line. He teaches like
You jet setters.
What is that? What is it you do? I'm just saying drumline over
yeah,
and over
I,
again.
I coach the high school drumline at Reed High School, and we're doing like a winter's theater kind of thing, like percussion theater for the winter. So
nice.
That's fun. Yeah, it's competitive.
You've coached them through a couple of like competitions and tournaments, right?
Yeah, been with Reed the last couple of years, was with Damani the 4 years before that. I've taught at most of the high schools here and in California, several of them. So good times.
Very nice. What's the next song you got for us?
What are we doing next? Do you want to do
Gather Round?
Gather Round.
Oh, yeah. Let's try it. Oh, so one of the other things that's real weird for us, it's kind of funny, is like when we're playing live, we play with like samples in between. So like songs kind of weave together in a weird way. Mm-hmm. So it's really weird to play them like without being like, oh, this would be a man talking here, going on about something.
Like weird segue.
Yeah. It should be like a quote from an old movie here or something.
That's what we can look forward to for at a live show, though. You guys, okay, that's going to be cool.
And then I was like, oh, but we can't use them on the podcast because you guys get sued.
Oh.
We don't own them, so, you know.
Well,
some like famous movie quote or something. Perfect. Was it from Chewy to You?
Quit talking about me.
Stop playing my drops.
It was when Max said, "Stop using that sample of me."
Oh yeah. Please.
Yep.
No, I think the quote was, "Move on."
Move on. I love that.
Thank you.
Hell yeah.
Rad.
Looking cool, Joe. Dude. You guys, you are tight for a brand new band.
Oh, thanks.
That was groovy.
That was smooth.
Thank you.
Thank you. Nice basin.
Thank you.
Basin with the bass.
Yeah. The anniversary bass. Yeah.
Who else is playing that night, Mary Anarchy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hey,
talk
Mary
about
Anarchy.
The big show coming up.
I don't have the flyer handy. Wait, let me pull up my phone where I have all of the other half of my brain that I don't keep in my real brain.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big fucking deal. And like you guys, are you guys early in the night or later?
They're mid.
Yeah,
mid.
We're like.
They are mid.
6:45 is when we're playing, I think. Something like that. But who cares?
We don't need to talk about times. times will be as they happen.
Somewhere between 3 p.m.
PM and
midnight. 6
p.m.
That's right.
And, like UPS.
And yeah. So we are going to. Yeah, this is in no particular order either, is it?
Well, that's good. If you want to see any of these bands, show up for the entire thing.
We're going to have, obviously, an early part of the show with some acoustic acts. Oh, yeah, that's
and
right.
And comedians?
I'm looking. And, no, well, the comedians are going to go in between later.
Oh, the bands later?
Yeah.
Nice.
Like, so we're going to start off with our regular like cadre of acoustic friends.
Nice acoustic afternoon.
We've got Eric Foreman and Aurora Foreman.
Nice.
The lovely Canyon White. Mike Reed is going to be there. A lot of good friends. And then later on, as we start in with the bands, we are going to be interspersing comedians. Shoot, I'm trying to find the right flyer, damn it.
Wow.
Okay, here we go. I have the right flyer now. Let's see. Mike Canyon. Breckley Durham is also going to be there.
Nice.
Yeah.
Friend of the show.
And then as we get into the bands, starting with Spawn of Face. Feral Heart with Cat Heart and her band.
Nice.
The Wabuska Yachting Club, Roxy Collie, the Glitterbats, Kittenhead. Yeah. We're also going to have a bunch of comedians in between the bands, taking up some of that dead space.
Now, do we have their names or are we just picking random comedians?
Random comedians.
They're homeless people.
We'll tell jokes for food.
Exactly. No, we've got, in no particular order except alphabetical, Bryant Tarpley, Sarah Rooker, Stephen Molman, Austin Baca, and then my comic wranglers, Bobby Benedict of Sad Giants and Vicky Gordon. They're all going to be giving us some tight tens in between the bands in their changeovers. It's going to be a good time there at Shim's, right there on 3rd Street, home to music and comedy in many incarnations over the years.
And poetry. Did you
love it? And poetry, exactly. Yeah, they do a lot. That's a bastion
of
the arts.
I've even seen big bands at that bar.
It's a badass room.
It is.
Yeah,
and it's
so this
of,
is
and
used to
back
be 3rd
in the
Street.
Day. Yeah, back in the day, it was Molly Malone's, and that's where all the strippers would buy you shots of Jaeger and teach you how to pick up women.
Mm-hmm.
That's
like
an oddly specific memory.
We all share that.
Yeah.
To do that
exactly at that place.
And basically was, don't do that again.
Was it mostly, for you, was it mostly work on your upper body strength?
They didn't even give me that advice. They knew that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah. That was too far.
Are you sure you
road.
Don't like boys? It was more the advice I got.
You would do well with boys. You should try that.
You'd be really successful at being gay.
another cool Shims fact is the Shames' first show was there when it was the 3rd Street Bar.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's oh, heck yeah.
Very cool.
Or, no, that wasn't their first show. That was their record release party. That's what that was.
Oh, okay.
Their first show is at the pizza place, Reno Pizza, back in the day.
But we will be there at Shims from 3 p.m., music starting shortly after the doors open, and with music going till at least 12, and hopefully not too much later than that should no technical difficulties arise.
Hell yeah.
But it's a day full of rock and roll, a day to remember and celebrate our good friend Jenny Pez Dispenser. Deeply involved with obviously Reno comedy, but also I met Jenny as a promoter of rock bands. back in the Zephyr days.
Yeah, she was a multiple time guest on the podcast during our first couple seasons too.
Oh heck yeah,
we always had her on,
and a host of Mary Anarchy many times over the years.
Mm-hmm. And she was friends with Marianne, so that's perfect.
Yeah, no, this one really hits close to home. I'm glad you guys are on board for it. You know, you guys, you know, Stephen and Joe have been a part of Mary Anarchy's many times in the past. So.
Many times, mm-hmm. Yes.
It's a really special thing in the community. I mean, it's,
yeah,
you know, it's a really cool thing as a, you know, anyone who's in a band, it's a really cool thing to be involved with. But it's just such a, honestly, such a unique and special thing that happens every year, some, twice a year.
Great tradition. Right?
You know, it's
yeah.
Yeah.
You know, whenever you tell anyone about, you know, whenever I tell anyone about it, they're always like, oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah. That this people just
who
don't happens.
Like people who are not like in the music community in Reno or not from Reno, when you're explaining what Mary Anarchy is, they're always like, oh my God, that's an incredible thing. Like, yeah.
Yeah,
we
take care of our own.
So much good for so many.
Yeah. I want to give props to the Rev here, Reverend Rory Dowd, and Cadillac Kim helping him out.
Yeah,
but, he took over the event, and I appreciate it. Like psychically, my cobwebs in my head are fucking clear. Like I don't have like this extra thing that I have to do this year. And thank you, Rory. And I think it was just time to give it to somebody else to run. You know what I mean?
And for like, sure.
Yeah.
And psychically, all of my fingernails are chewed off like typewriter tailings, like you might see in a cartoon.
Flying off in a perfect arc.
We are at what, T minus 5 days, 6 days
here?
I think all the details that I don't have taken care of are all going to come together one way or another.
They will.
That's how it happens.
Mm-hmm. That's how it happens. You know, it's theater. It's a show. It's rock and roll. It'll be fine.
Things
are
going to go wrong, and you're going to look like a fool.
Oh my God! That's my wheelhouse.
Remember the year you tripped over the wire and like fucking.
I am wearing
scarred from that.
I am wearing
legs?
A brace right now on that knee because I hurt myself.
Oh my
so
God!
Bad.
Everyone thought it was going to be your hand, but it was your leg.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, that was a really bad fall.
Don't be nervous, Rory. Just remember,
and
everything depends on this.
I didn't see a doctor for a year, but I worked it out. Somebody gave me OxyContin. What? Somebody else gave me a cane, and at the next Mary Anarchy, I didn't have to use the cane the whole time.
Was one of those somebody's Jenny Pez? Probably not.
Oh, shit. Yeah, no, maybe. Oh, gosh.
It's this full circle.
God, you might be right. She might have been the person that gave me the oxy. And this is long enough ago. There's no
allegedly.
Statute of limitations, allegedly.
Right.
And it was Scotty Henshaw who gave me the cane that he made.
Nice.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's
nice. Now, this is the Mary Anarchy this year at this point, right? There's just one weekend at one bar. That's it.
It's just one
and
show.
One day.
Yeah. Well, you know, in taking over the reins, Kim and I decided we'd just kind of scale things back.
Because sometimes it's two weekends, two different bars. Sometimes it's 2 days. Sometimes it's spring and fall. This is just one in the winter.
We've thought, done like 30-something
thought
Mary
we
Anarchies.
Would try not to bite off more than we could chew this year. So we just did the one day at the one bar.
Right.
And keeping it like, because, you know, I mean, especially too, I think because it's Jenny, you know, and it's a celebration of her life here and as much of a part of the community as she was here.
To include the comedians, that's so perfect.
And it's really cool because it's Marianne's birthday on the 6th.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. That worked out really well.
I always like the winter Mary Anarchy, and Diana says, oh, yeah, you're going to do it on your birthday. Like, you want that kind of stress for your birthday. But I do.
Yeah.
She asked me, what did I want for my 50th birthday? I was like, I don't know, a show. She was like, you want me to, like, roast you? I'm like, yeah, sure. And then made me end up, like, organizing the whole thing.
Is it your birthday on the 6th?
That was a great night.
That was an awesome show.
I didn't know what anybody was going to do. She wrangled all the folks. But I, like, you know, booked the show, got the flyers. Da, da, da. I love throwing a show for my birthday.
Is it your birthday this Saturday?
My birthday will be 2 days later on Monday.
It's Ash's birthday on Saturday.
Is it too? Yeah. Okay. See, yeah, it's that time of year.
This town is loaded with Sagittarius.
Spring fever baby.
Stephen's
a Sagittarius.
But I love, like, never what end. Do I want for my 12th. Birthday? I want to throw a charity rock show. So
love it.
Taking over Merry Anarchy, and it's that time of year. It just feels right, feels good.
So yeah. Awesome. My sister's husband, my sister who lives in L.A.,
yeah,
who is also British, obviously, she also married...
Strangely.
She also married a Sagittarius born on the 6th of December. So Jesus. So Ash and Tim, and my brother-in-law, have the same birthday.
Oh, my God. Wow.
And he's a twin as well, so that's even weirder, you know?
Weird. It's just the ripples.
Yeah, the
ripples.
It's odd that we married someone born on the same day.
So many Sagittarius people get pregnant in the spring is what happens there, right?
Spring fever. Yeah. Okay, these are all sense. People who just can't
Plus,
get out of the house.
Sagittarius are very social people. You just see them around, so it makes sense that you know so many of them.
Yeah.
They don't hide under a rock.
Right, not like those Virgos you can't trust.
Yeah, those Virgos,
at home, they barely open the shades or anything.
Their eyes.
Ordering food and not coming out the door. Yeah,
it's all nonsense, I tell you.
Let's see. We got about 20 more minutes to show.
Crime Wife. Why Crime Wife?
Yeah.
What's the angle here? What's the angle here, kid?
I wasn't sure if you guys were going to be punk with that name like that.
Yeah, it was the best band name of the ones that came up. Sometimes it just sorts itself out that way. The aesthetic kind of comes with it a little bit.
Later. So one that almost made it? The aesthetic came after the name, not before?
I would say they kind of came together after the music started to coming together a little bit. And we noticed that, yeah, we're playing like 90s influenced alternative rock, but we also have some like bossa nova elements in there and some jazz things.
Some jazzy,
So it made sense to do a film noir kind of feel with it.
Uh-huh.
Basically, we're like trying to sound like we're from the 50s if we were in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And so that sort of comes together with Crime Wife.
You should do makeup that looks like you're ready to be filmed for Black and White. So that'd be like with the green and blue highlights and stuff. Mm. But don't be filmed in Black and White. Just be weird.
But just be weird about it. Yeah. Like a very obtuse joke that most people don't get.
Yeah, unless somebody happens to take Black and White photos of you that night.
That'd be a pretty big if.
I'm glad you didn't suggest blackface, so we're doing better.
I was really like trying to steer away from
the menstrual
those words.
Yeah, I'll do it for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, anytime. I'll walk right into that for you.
Yeah,
grayface.
We don't condone old racist stereotypes.
No.
But you make black and white makeup, and the way you put contrast is like this bright blue or bright green.
Like Miami stuff?
No, it's like the normal contour, the way you would do like fashion makeup.
Makeup, yeah, exactly.
Or how they would do an actor in an old noir movie, right, in black and white.
Correct, but what it would really look like in a color camera, which it has the makeup had color on it, but in a black and white film it made
it
look
better.
Just to
give it texture.
It's like when sports teams had were filmed in black and white, and they had they picked weird colors to distinguish themselves.
On the field with the black and white film.
Make a stand out on black and white,
yes. Yes, that is a similar analogy.
Yeah.
And now that we've explained the joke and it is no longer funny.
It wasn't funny the first time.
But we're not racist, so.
No, it was going to be like a weird cool band art thing what I was suggesting.
It was like the Henry Matisse, the play it on colors or something.
Love it.
Yeah, it's a very much a color theory thing, but with makeup and black and white.
So what are we playing? You said we're going to play a game?
Oh, the quiz.
No, a quiz.
You, Jennifer, are brand new to the show, and usually we have a little quiz. Let's do it. Rick, give me that old-timey music.
Quiz.
As you wish, Uncle Nick.
All right, we're going to do it. The worst little quiz in the world. We'll just do a quick round of it. Joe and Steven are very familiar with it. But let's do the whole band, because it's a good way for everybody to get to know each other. All right, here we go. My first question to you, Steven, would be, celebrity road trip, you're going across America. who's the celebrity you're with, and what car are you driving?
I pick Steve Gadd. He's a phenomenal drummer. Great to pick his brain. And he's also kind of old and sleepy, so I think he'd take some good naps on there, which would give me my alone time as well. And
strategic.
Yeah, I like quick cars, so as terrible as it is, I'd probably get a Tesla and, you know, go 0 to 60 in four seconds a so bunch quick. Of times.
It's like a slot car.
Yeah, they're just fun, you know.
You guys would have to stop and get some...
The charging times. Yeah, no, that's good. You go to Starbucks, you lunch chill for and a little bit. Yeah. I've enjoyed them when I've rented them. So, yeah, Steve Gadd, me, his naps, and a Tesla.
Nice. All right, Jennifer, same question.
Dolly Parton comes to mind. She seems like she'd be so fun. I think we'd be besties.
She's wonderful.
Yeah.
And what kind of car were you driving?
Oh, an El Camino.
Nice. For
sure. Also nice.
Camino. Ding.
Great.
Ding. Joe.
Oh, God. Famous people. I'd pick someone really obscure, I think, from my world of soccer that nobody knows anything about. I'd pick, like, Marcelo Bielsa, who used to be the Leeds manager, who's like an old man and only speaks Spanish, so he wouldn't be able to communicate.
Are you a Leeds fan?
Yeah.
Is that your team? Okay.
Yeah. So we'd just sit in mostly silence, but I would just be like, he's awesome.
Shoe, you a soccer guy?
I try to dabble in soccer. I didn't follow it when I was young, but I'd like to try to pick up teams I root for. And at Premier League, I like Newcastle a lot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I know a guy who's like a Hull guy, and I know you guys in Hull are like hateful,
a Hull guy?
Like hated rivals, yeah.
I know
yeah.
a guy like that, too.
Hull well, City. They no, here's the thing. They hate
Tigers.
Us.
Yeah.
They have the world's shittest chant, by the way. Yeah. It's so fucking funny. I have to tell you about it. It's no good for a podcast, but they start singing, "You're being mauled by the Tigers." They go, "You're being mauled by the Tigers, mauled by the Tigers." And they all do this with their arms.
The tiger claw.
And then whenever they do it, our fans all turn around and saying, "What the fuck? What the fuck? What the fucking hell was that?" Every time.
That's fair.
It's great.
And even though he said this is too long for the podcast, he still told us.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you did.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That was wonderful.
That's all, I enjoyed the story.
Yeah.
I'll go next. Joan, we'll start with you. What's the sketchiest convenience store in the Reno Sparks area?
Oh, God. I don't know. Probably. Well, the one I've had the most weird encounters in is the one on the corner of 2nd and Wells.
I think
7-Eleven on the corner mm-hmm. there.
That one has so many hub. Votes.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what you were going to say?
Yeah. Yeah, that one.
You can have the same answer.
I'm up Wells a little bit further, right next to the freeway there. That Chevron right next to the freeway. There's just always stuff going
down. Oh, yeah.
There.
The one next to the Eskina bar.
And they can put all the bright lights they want to on the front of that place, but it's still sketchy as fuck.
Still, the police lights still outshine them.
Yeah.
Is that Denny's still there?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
God bless that Denny's.
And the
Caro's across the street, but it's not Caro's. It's,
it's Jack's
now, but it's only open like 3 hours a day.
The best hours.
That's a good gig if you can get it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. Good answers.
Thank you.
Okay. What?
Oh.
What is the, what's your most memorable story from middle school?
Where are we starting?
Steven.
Oh, man. Meeting my wife and her getting me high for the first time.
Oh, wow.
On weed.
Yeah. On weed. She was like, I got this thing. No, and I think you're really going to like it. It was with the stage at Sparks Middle School.
Oh, yeah. The one by the pool. I went to Sparks Middle, too. Exactly. Yeah, I saw Rock-On on that stage when I was in eighth grade.
I love it. That's beautiful.
You saw what?
Rock-On was a big Reno band back in the late
80s. R-A-W-K-O-N.
Yeah, R-A-W-K-O-N. They're like old school Reno. Yeah. So, yeah. Cool.
Wow.
He was sprung on my shit ever since.
Yeah.
It's true.
Sparks Middle was a real battleground.
Sure was. Oh, God. But I think just nice memories of hanging out with Steven during lunch. Yeah. Hanging out with...
That's sweet.
Thanks for throwing you guys go back by the wall, by the tennis courts?
Yeah. So we'd be... I don't think we went that far.
No.
Not by the tennis court.
We spent a lot of hours walking around, though.
Yeah.
We walk around Sparks quite a bit.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I didn't go to middle school because I went to school in England.
Well, so. What do they call it in England?
From is like six it's to a gap ninth year. Grade or seventh and eighth grade.
Yeah, gap year down the mines.
That's when they all go work at mill.
That's when you get your first shot of black lung.
So in England you go, well, it's different all over, right? But from 4 to 11 is like junior and infant, and then from 11 to 16 is high school. So it'd be basically high school.
So, but you don't, no, but
wow. Yeah,
what's
yeah.
that like?
But the era would be like 12, 13.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. So basically high school.
The young shitty part
I have
of
loads
school.
Of real... I went to school in like West Yorkshire, a pretty rough school. Outside of a mining town, so I've got loads of really weird
he
stories.
He did go send them to go work.
I've got
mine.
Loads of really weird stories. I think my favorite weird story was there's some big drug problems in my school, and the first time I ever heard of speed, I was in a home economics class, sewing, where we were being taught to make our own small cushions, like for our parents. And I was like on a sewing machine, so like sewing my, and it was like a scenic picture of like a hillside with like a stream and a little bridge that I'd made. And it was like pink around. I was like making it for my grandmother. And I was like going, like sewing this thing. And the guy next to me, Gavin, was like, oh, got some whiz. and I was like, what are you talking about? And he was like, I got a wrap of whiz for lunch. I was like, all right, whatever. Gavin was a really interesting kid.
Instead of eating, let's do this.
Yeah, yeah. Gavin was a crazy kid who I was friends with for a while in high school. He used to headbutt things to prove how hard he was. Mm. So he would just like smash his head into like solid objects all the time.
Huh.
Yeah, he was.
Sounds awesome.
And then he became a DJ.
That's such an England thing, right?
This is a very Sid Vicious-y kind of thing. Yeah, like speed, hitting heads.
So they
and
call
playing
speed
somebody else's music.
Whiz. Yeah, whiz.
That makes sense. I get it.
Yeah, so when you went to a festival, you'd be like, if you're in Manchester, you'd be like, I'm all sorted for ease and whiz. You know what I mean?
Ease?
Yeah. I got me ease and me whiz.
Easy
yeah.
whiz.
Set for the festival for the whole weekend.
Yeah. A jerky stick?
Yeah.
Or do they have that there?
Jerky? No.
No jerky.
No. So you're all like shaky jaws and...
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Eating jerky when you're on the ease and the whiz?
Yeah.
little strychnine in it makes it fun.
Get those mouthpieces and you chew on right. while you're tweaking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay.
Great stories, you guys. All right, Rory, you're up.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, how am I going to compete with that? An oldie but a goodie. Upon your demise, Jennifer, where would you haunt?
Haunt.
Yes. Where would your non-corporeal form take up residence?
Like if I was trying to get vengeance?
Well, I don't know, just where
just
would
where
you
would I
want?
Okay.
If you were, you. For whatever reason, nice you're not passing on,
yeah,
but you're
okay.
stuck in the in-betweeny bit, where are you haunting?
Oh, a beautiful meadow. Hang out there. But if I was trying to get vengeance, like the basement of the El Dorado Casino.
Yeah, that's right. We'll take that
yeah,
one.
Okay, yeah, okay, yeah. Because I used to work there, and it was a nice job. It was great.
But the basement needs more haunting.
It needs more haunting. And it was, I was there during, do you remember like early 2000s? There was like a lot of earthquakes during the summertime.
Yeah.
And we were getting big ones. And I remember,
storm, yeah.
I remember swearing, like, if I die here, I'm going to haunt this place. Yeah. So that always kind of sticks out.
Get
so I would haunt there.
I like that. That's a good answer.
And I mean, of all the places to die as a Reno resident, in the bottom of a casino.
Yeah.
That just sucks.
I would be angry.
Yeah.
Yeah, about dying in the basement of a casino.
I mean, I know lots of my family, my relatives from California would love to die in the casino.
Oh, yeah. You go to El Dorado, you see all those pictures of all the people that won on the wall. They're all from California.
Yep.
They love it there.
Yeah.
Joe.
Good question. First of all, I would want to be, like, taxidermied.
Gotcha.
Not and the question, but I love it.
And just put on wheels and like rolled into places. And I'd like to haunt my own taxidermied corpse.
All right. Awesome. So in this scenario, your taxidermied corpse.
So
what? No, would it be joint flexible or a static pose? Would you be a G.I. Joe with a kung fu action grip?
Yeah, yeah. Yes. I think so. I want one arm that's got like a wind-up feature. You know, like click a button.
On your back.
Remember how like you get those action figures that would do like...
Oh, the karate
like
chop.
Or something
but,
like that.
But you'd have to like lift the other arm.
Well, I want to be useful. I like to go open a can or something. You could put like your beer in my hand and push a button and it opens your beer.
That'd be awesome.
G.I. Joe.
But I mostly was. This is mostly like if I die before Ash.
Yeah.
So she's just got me in the corner somewhere. She can just wheel me out.
Like the dad and Strangers with Candy.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. But it would be cool to have like a piping system that made it look like you smoked.
Yeah.
Or something, you know?
Maybe some like taps for steam.
Dude, we could turn him into a bong.
Yeah, there you go. Oh.
With the big old hole on the back of your head, probably.
I don't want to hit Joe.
Yeah.
A pass on that
it
one.
It tastes like Earl Grey.
The bowl sticks out of your navel.
Where's the carb on this thing?
Yeah.
This is left ear. I would go local Bowers Mansion. I think it's just a lovely property,
nice.
And they're always bringing children there, so that's
beautiful.
Prime scare subjects. You know,
and you have
parades
company.
Of
there's,
kids.
There's tons of other ghosts at that
Oh,
place.
Yeah, I'm sure. There's lots of ghosts there, for sure. And they got a nice pool.
They're still fighting with each other.
Grounds. The structure's so nice.
Ghosts look for a swimming pool.
Yeah. I'd like to lounge next to the pool. Maybe I'd enjoy it.
Haunting the swimming pool with the children.
Yeesh.
That works. That's
beautiful.
It's a real vibe.
It's got the local flair, but so did El Dorado, so that's going to be tough to judge who wins that round. Mm.
My first acting job, my first paid acting job in England was being a ghost in a mill, in like an old 1700s mill. For Halloween, there was like a show, like a promenade show where people would walk through and there was like a show and I was a ghost in an old mill. And I was like a comedy ghost. We were like ghosts in training. We were supposed to be the comedic relief, but we would just stand in this old mill. Like kids would walk past you and you'd just be standing in a place they couldn't see and you'd just go, hello, and they would just literally shit their pants. But true story, I got the job, which is a great story. I got the job because... So this guy who I replaced got fired because, well, this was, I was a ghost in training the second time. The first time I replaced a clown and he was supposed to have a this was a show for kids and you were allowed to like improv.
Okay.
And these group of kids are in this thing and he goes, oh, this chicken crossed the road to this 10-year-old. In this voice, how's this chicken cross the road? Kid goes, I don't know. He goes, we're stuck to the end of my fucking cock.
Whoa. Oh. You're fired.
Good one.
So he got fired. Yeah
well, hence creating a spot for you.
Yeah, unsurprisingly fired. Yeah. Saying extremely graphic.
I am sick of you children. This is my last day.
Was it a water mill or a grain mill? What kind of mill?
Yeah, watermill.
Oh, I've always wanted to visit a watermill.
Yeah.
It's like my bucket list.
Yeah. Well, and then when Ashra and I lived in England for
and
6 months,
it
we
ground
lived right
the
next
water
to...
into hydrogen and oxygen.
Yeah.
That's how watermills work.
They harvest the water and the oxygen.
Subatomic particles are
they
broken
were,
apart.
Yeah.
Okay.
They weren't. Yeah,
with
they weren't
the
milling.
Power of children pushing it.
Yes.
Chickens.
They weren't producing water, yes. It was a cotton mill.
It was run on water. It's water.
Thank you. Okay.
You just ruined it for me. Now it's
like a Little House on a Prairie.
It's a really cool. It's kind of cool though because it's like, you know, Industrial Revolution shit. So they've got like these. They have the original like wool machines in there, and they have experts.
The carding.
Yeah, and they tell you all the horror stories about like they had like little kids would scramble under them.
Yeah.
Like 8-year-old kids, and then they would get. Squished.
And then they couldn't stop it.
They'd be like,
part of your sweater.
Well, Little Jimmy's lost a hand.
There's a bunch of stamp mills here in the Sierra Nevadas, and there are some spots that only the little kids could go in and fix. And then, oh, the machine would start.
Before
OSHA. Well, he shouldn't have been so good at fixing it.
We were talking about
how... That's right.
You play dumb, kid.
That's right.
All right, we're having a quiz here, a lighthearted, fun quiz.
All right. Rapid fire, here we go.
Rapid fire.
Deadhead or Juggalo?
Juggalo.
Juggalo.
Deadhead.
All right. Pro wrestling or MMA?
Pro wrestling, for sure.
Pro wrestling.
Pro wrestling just for the entrances.
Yes, sir.
Crushed in a stamp mill or... Killed in a cotton mill.
Killed in a cotton mill just for heritage sake.
Traditional, yeah.
Cotton mill.
Killed in the cotton mill for the alliteration.
Clean sweep for the cotton mill.
You have to die in a cult. Would you prefer Heaven's Gate or Jonestown?
Jonestown.
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 Good for you guys.
Three tickets to Jonestown. All right. That's it, folks.
Sorry. They got the punchline.
The computer. All right. Let me see here.
Oh. No.
Man, it was a close, close race. But Steven Sperber, you are the winner of the worst little quiz today.
Yes. Good job, Steven.
Good job.
Mix.
And you win the coveted... Bravo, motherfucker! Sticker.
Bravo, motherfucker!
Awesome.
Yeah. Bravo, motherfucker. Something.
Yeah,
and for playing everybody. Today,
we used to give $100 cash prize, but now we ran out of money.
Yeah, we're down to
that
stickers.
Was a limited. Part of the season.
I missed all those episodes because I won this before. Everybody? I never got $100.
You pass these on.
Yes, sir.
Well, thanks for playing today, everybody.
Yeah, give the losers their consolation prizes.
Woo!
Stickers. I guess Merry Anarchy is where we can catch you next, the Crime Wife.
Yeah. And then we're going to, I think, work on setting up some gigs. Maybe one more before the end of the year. Might be a little tight now.
Nice. Do we have any place where we can find out if you guys got anything coming up?
Facebook and Instagram.
Okay. There's Crime Wife.
Crime Wife Band on Instagram, and then we're just Crime Wife on Facebook.
Perfect. So we can keep an eye on that to find out if you have more shows coming up.
Thanks for helping us plug ourselves.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, good stuff today.
Want you guys to succeed.
Well, and thank you for helping us plug Merry Anarchy.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. This Saturday, December 6th, it's a celebration of life with Jenny Pez and Spencer.
Three to midnight-ish.
Three to midnight. Bunch of good bands, comedy. Please come out and see us. Say hi to the Rev and me. And
Shims on 3rd Street.
That's right. And
It's going to be a good time. It'll be a great day.
For sure.
You guys are going to give us a song or two at the end here?
Yeah. One or two, either way.
Yeah, you can do that or a double shot, just whatever. So, for the Lord Strice and the Reverend Roy Dad is here today. Chewbacca, Dogwater Dick in the back. Dr. G's here. Thank you, Doc. And Crime Wife, I'm Nick Ramirez saying life is short and we love you. Thanks for listening.
On the worst little podcast, we're talking out of our ass.
Forget how your fingers they itch as you dig in the earth now asunder. No, you'll never get rich, 'cause your days are here to be plumbed. And you know this, yes you know this, 'cause you're shown this by the world again and again. Send this youth to the front, 'cause there's cannons there that need fodder. Son, it's terribly blunt, but your youth is what is on earth.